Blog Talk Radio.
Believe everything the mainstream media tells you? We don't. We cover what mainstream doesn't. Welcome to Beyond the Mainstream with Donnie C., Texas Bob, and Cinnamon. Tin hat not required. Call us with your opinion at 347-324-3752.
Well, hello.
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 I'm not used to doing this on a Saturday night.
Well, I like it a lot better already.
Yeah, you sound more awake.
Well, yeah. I ain't done nothing all day. Took naps.
Oh, there you go. Happy Saturday.
Refreshed. So how's y'all's week been?
That's going along.
Michigan's winning. Alabama's winning. So everything's going good.
That's good. Good. Had a good week?
Yeah, yeah.
Worked hard?
Unfortunately.
Okay. That's a good thing. That means you're so capable of working hard. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing, all right.
All right. So, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
Nobody's got nothing.
Nobody's got nothing?
Well, I got Lindsey Graham changed his mind.
About?
Well, Obamacare.
Yeah.
He changed his mind.
He's playing like your boy over there in Arizona. He says one thing one time, and then right before the election, he wants to change his mind so he can get reelected. So he gets reelected again so he can turn back to what he originally thought to begin with.
Right. That's exactly what he's doing.
The guy's two-faced. They need to vote him out, and that'd be one less pain in the butt.
Yeah.
He was all against this. Defunding Obamacare when they first were discussing it, he was against it. Now all of a sudden, like I said, you know, he's one of those ones that's going to be reelected here in the next voting cycle here, and
right.
Now he wants to, you know, I'm for it.
Yeah.
What I said last week doesn't really matter. It's what I'm saying today.
Yeah. Now, Nancy Mace is the one that's running against him. One of the people issued a press conference attacking Graham for his past criticism of defunding Obamacare. But in just 2 hours, Graham tweeted that he supported the House's efforts to defund the unpopular health care bill. In just 2 hours he changed his mind.
He had a brainstorm and said, "Oh, this is a good idea."
You're right.
He has been healed.
Yeah, he's been healed all right until
I see the light. I've been healed.
After the September election of next year, he'll forget about that light.
Yeah. Just like most politicians. You know,
exactly.
He ain't no different than the rest of them. It's just most people, you know, there was a point in time, and I'm not going to say he's going to lose because I don't know what's going to go on over there. But hopefully, you know, as we said in the past, people pay more attention nowadays. So hopefully in the state, but is it North Carolina? So, where's he from?
South Carolina, isn't he? Yeah.
I knew it was Carolina. I didn't know if it was North or South.
I think it's
those, whatever. Hopefully those people pay attention and we'll vote him out. You know, get somebody else in there or...
Yeah, it's South Carolina.
You know, they'll follow the same line that the dumbasses from Arizona and do the same thing they did. Revote their dummy back in.
Well, if they don't see the similarities between McCain and Graham, and see what how McCain has changed since he was reelected. Oh, then they're dumb.
Well, now the Carolinas, both of them have gotten a big insurgency of younger people because they've got there's a big job growth down there, and there's a lot of younger families that are moving in, and they're professional people, so they're going to be paying more attention. Where, like in Arizona, you're kind of, I mean, there's a broad spectrum of people, but kind of like Florida, you've got a lot of people that are retired that just don't pay attention anymore.
I don't know.
Then they ought to, like Terry McAuliffe, you know, he worked with the Clintons, and he finally came out and said he supports Clinton. He supported Clinton when he was talking about closing down coal mining in that state, and he also now you know he's running for governor, and he's in a dead heat. Now, how in the hell this man can be in a dead heat when he's going to cost the state thousands and thousands of jobs, not to mention everybody in the state's electric bill is going to go sky high. But who knows what the hell? I don't know what people think.
Sometimes we wonder if they even do, right?
Well, I'm pretty sure they don't, most of them.
Well,
whoever's got the most money, and you get to show your face on a damn TV, that's who they vote for, and they don't have a clue, one, what the hell they stand for.
Again, it's just being...
Talking to Mike.
Again, it's just, I think part of it's, you know, their lives are too busy, and they just want to, listen to the talking points, so they don't take the time to go and research anything or to pay attention. You know, they just skim the major headlines. And some of them, it's because they're lazy. They don't want to know. Some of them, it's people are just too busy to do it.
And then Terry McAuliffe will win because if they skim the headlines, it's usually a liberal paper. And if that's all they do, he's a hero. And he's against gun control. I mean, he's for all kinds of gun control, rather. And in the Carolinas and Virginia, they're not for that. So that's going to hurt him. He should not be in a dead heat. There is no way in hell this man should be even close to winning. Anyway.
I agree. You know, I can't explain it. I couldn't sit here and explain why he would be in a dead heat, but then on the flip side to it, I don't believe half the polls are out there either, so.
No, I don't either.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't believe any of the polls anymore because they all got their own little agenda to them. And a lot of it, when they do these polls and stuff, it's how they ask the question. You know, you can ask a question and twist it 15 different ways and get 15 different results.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I
don't pay attention
I have to say, on the last voting cycle, we got a lot of calls. Some of them I didn't know where they came from, but we got a lot of calls from like Republican parties because we had at the time I had to register to be a Republican to be able to vote for Ron Paul in the primaries.
Uh-huh.
And before I was always independent, and I'm thinking that, you know, that, okay, they want to know somebody's opinion, so they're going to call all the Republicans or they'll call,
oh, sure,
you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, sort of like, you know, it's like taking a Fox polls series. I mean, the people that watch Fox News is kind of tilted in one direction. So,
yeah.
All, you know, everybody calls or answer their polls, of course, it, you know, tilted in one direction. So, like I said, I don't buy any of these polls anymore. Even the when they ask a straight-out question, when they come up with the results, they'll lie about it anyway. We've seen that 1,000 times, too. Especially when you're getting that information from a news media, any kind of news media source. They lie so much it ain't even funny. Twist stories around, make up their own stories, do whatever they want to do. So,
now,
we'll see what comes.
Yeah, you're right. You will see. Did you see the video of Ed Schultz? He can't understand why the American people do not love Obama.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, you've got he just can't figure it out. It, you know, it's another poll. How he's handling the economy. He's low, like in the 40s and in the 50s. Vice versa, 40s in the they approve and 50 something they disapprove. And he can't understand that at all. Why doesn't people love? I can't understand it. I'll try to find it because this is an idiot. I thought Chris Matthews was bad. This guy is a moron.
What kind?
Yeah. And then we had the shootings. We had the shootings at the Navy Yard.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to CNN, and they didn't take it down for a long time, it was an AR-15 for the longest time. And the whole story, finally, a real reporter, Tapper, got on there and said, that story's false. On their own station, he got on there and told them, you know, that's wrong. But boy, they just the whole 2 days they were talking about AR-15s and making it sound like that's what weapon was used in this whole thing. And it was
just out of curiosity, what weapon was used?
And they used a shotgun, or he used a shotgun and
took a handgun off a guard.
Yeah, he had a handgun. And I've been reading all along, and a lot of places that the SWAT team was there within minutes. What they were told to stand down for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I've read that too. And I want to know how did he walk in with a shotgun if it's a gun-free zone?
And I don't know.
Nobody has said anything about that.
And he played video, shoot 'em up video games for 15 hours a day. He was on psychotropic drugs. The man wasn't all there.
No, he wasn't all upstairs.
No.
And another thing that was kind of interesting about that, the people that checked the background it was the same ones that did the backgrounds for that dude that was in over here in Texas.
Oh.
Same company.
Yes, that's right. I did see that.
It wasn't done by the United States government or anything like that. It was done by a private company.
Right, I did read about that. Yeah, that's two massacres. One at Fort Hood and one at the Navy Yard.
And they were both
checks on somebody.
Right.
If you're running security checks on somebody, and not just a regular background check for employment and stuff, but actual a security clearance check, would you really want to outsource that?
Well, they do.
I thought the FBI used to do it. I don't know what happened to that.
Look, like sent them and said they outsourced it. The federal government outsourced it.
Yeah, they must have.
Yeah, so, and that's, you know, that's weird. That's very strange. You know, I mean, I understand companies outsourcing for background checks, but the federal government, you know.
Well, I mean, I can see if it's low level, not, you know, just for employment, but anything that would have to go through security clearance, I would think that you would definitely keep that in-house.
Yeah, the federal government would do it. You know, I think any government employee should be, you know.
What the heck is the there for?
Background check, so this should be done by the federal government. But yeah. Then on the other side to that story is, let's be real. What has our federal government ever done and done right? So.
Well, I would say the NSA's collecting everything they can on everybody. They would know.
Well, if it's true. That they ordered the SWAT team to stand down for 45 minutes. And then I just read an article today. They interviewed fire department personnel and police officers that actually went into the building when they could. Their radios didn't work once they were in there.
Right.
And
that I heard.
That I didn't hear.
Yeah. I just read. Do you hear that, Bob?
Yep. I sure did.
Now does it? That just smells of a false flag. The whole thing. Stand down for 45 minutes. One of the officers said they could have been in there in 3 minutes, only three people would have been killed. But they were told to stand down, and then once they got in there. Nobody knew where everybody was because they couldn't communicate.
Right.
So they were using their own cell phones reporting in.
They had you're right.
SWAT team, a reason why they were told to stand down, and their commander was moved. He's been transferred.
Of course, they all get, and he'll end up missing somewhere on a plane.
And then, of course, everybody starts rattling about gun control again because of this situation.
Oh, yeah. That's all you hear anymore. Exactly.
You know, every time something like this happens, that's what's going to be done.
Yeah, Pierce Morgan, that's the show.
Yeah, you know.
I haven't checked into Pierce Morgan's show, but most of what I've been hearing, it ends up getting talked about mental illness.
Well, on that too.
Yeah, they are finally starting to talk about the cause, and it's not, you know, quit blaming guns. It's what's causing all this. And I read another article today that 22 soldiers are committing suicide every day.
Yeah, I've been hearing that for quite a while.
What if you Prozac and all these other medications these doctors put people on, you've got to read those inserts. And I don't take Prozac or anything like that, so I don't know, but I've been reading that it can calm you or it can make you enrage, any combination of drugs that you take.
Yeah, when they put you on anything for depression or the extra anxiety, they're supposed to be watching you like big time. They check you like week to week until you get the right combination and get settled down.
Right levels too.
Yeah, but they're starting to, and you have to take them at the same time every day, and you have to take them consistently. You can't skip a day. It messes you up big time, and they're starting to prescribe some of these drugs for other things.
Well, yeah,
quit smoking.
Yeah.
They're using a lot of those drugs for people to quit smoking. And I don't get that at all. But
also, when they prescribe these drugs, the doctors aren't doing what they're supposed to either. So,
no, they're not following up as much.
Right, they're not following up like they're supposed to. Like you said, you know, when they first prescribe them to somebody, you're supposed to go in every, like, 2 weeks, and then the doctor will talk to you and whatever. But, you know, and I'm not talking about just a psychiatrist, because MDs can prescribe these things.
Yeah.
And the problem is that these, you know, let's be real. An MD will see how many people a week or every 2 weeks. Like, they're really going to remember, you know, another patient, you know, this one individual patient on how he acts and all that. Just, you know, he's just got to go by what his notes are. You know, MD shouldn't be describing this crap anyway. I think that's part of the problem too. Because
yeah.
I've also read articles where they're saying that these MDs are over-prescribing this crap.
Yeah.
So,
well, like I said, they're starting to prescribe it for people that aren't either having anxiety problems or depression problems. They're having chronic pain and stuff like that, and so they're prescribing it for that, so they don't follow up. But then the person is going, okay, I'm not hurting, so I'm not going to take it anymore, not realizing that they can't not take it. That will that will make a same person crazy.
Yeah.
So it's all mixed up. And the soldiers, the poor soldiers.
I don't think they get the medical attention they need to begin with.
No, I don't.
You know.
Either.
I'm sorry.
No, they throw a pill and send them home.
No, and if you ask a soldier, you know, if he, first off, they're embarrassed that there's anything wrong with them, most of them. They don't like to admit that kind of thing, unless it's a physical thing. They're not, you know, they're not going to go in and really say that they've got, you know, PTSD. A lot of them try to fight against that. So if you give them a pill and say, okay, so how are you feeling now? Even if they're still having problems with it, they're going to go, I'm doing fine. You know, it's just a bad situation. Bad.
You don't have to be totally out there to have a mental problem. You know, I mean, there's people that are, you know, just everyday normal people you think that are normal that have issues that you would never know.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, these soldiers, when they come back here, they're kind of thrown on the back burner anyway, because the government don't want to take responsibility for them anyhow, you know, as far as the health care. And this is my opinion. I mean, I know they got their VA hospitals and all that, but, you know, from people that I've talked to and stories I've heard about these type of hospitals, I mean, it's a joke. You know, that's what I've heard. I've never been in one, never had to go to one, so I don't know. I can just go by what I'm being told. But, again, you know, they don't want to spend, the federal government don't want to spend the money, so they in and out of them places, like, you know, quick. They don't really take care of these people, and it's a sad situation.
No, and I don't think the VA was geared up to deal with PTSD. And they try to deny it, just like they try to deny Agent Orange, that kind of stuff. You know, if you just put them on the hamster wheel and get them rolling, and, you know, they'll get off at some point. They'll get tired of it.
Yeah. Well.
And it's that you know, that's a sad thing. And the worst part about it is because war has changed, you know, that there's more people coming home that are wounded than they did before. Before, you know, it was, if you got wounded, it was, it wasn't, you were, you know, you were in the low numbers to get home.
Yeah, you got patched back together. You got patched back together and sent back out. Now you get hurt and it sends you home. No matter, you know, basically, no matter what it is anymore. But the, you know, the truth of the matter is, the president, the government don't want to come out and say, "Hey, look, we said 15,000. I'm gonna just throw numbers out there. 15,000 out here in Iraq or whatever, and out of the 15,000 that came back, 13,000 of them are not mentally stable anymore." You know, they don't want those numbers to come out like that. I'm not saying it's that high, but, you know, I'm sure it's real high. I mean, people go, you go, because you got to remember, they're kids. You know, these are the same kids that, you know, just got out of high school or, you know, a couple of years out of high school or whatever, and thrown into situations like that, and they came back, and they're still shocked, you know.
And yeah. It's like, you know, we didn't learn anything from Vietnam. They did the same damn thing.
Well,
yeah, I knew one guy in college that his older brother he got back from Vietnam. He was home for 3 months, and he kind of went nuts, and he was homeless. He was homeless back in the 80s still. He couldn't stay inside anywhere. The only time he stayed inside overnight was in the winter if he didn't make it down to Florida in time. What he would do is he'd travel back and forth, just hitching a ride.
Like I said, there's people that can't adapt back into society because of the trauma that they were, you know, seen and were forced into. And, you know, it's a sad thing. But like I said, as far as I'm concerned, it's just as much our federal government's fault as anybody else's because they don't care.
No, they don't care. Vietnam again, it's the same thing. Now, you didn't want to put out the money. They sprayed these people with Agent Orange, cancer-causing agent from Monsanto, and Dow Chemical. And they waited and waited for decades before they, well, maybe it does have something to do. Well, most of those people are dead now.
And you're still having trouble. Now that you can give a service record, when they first said that they would go ahead and start covering cancer from Agent Orange, you had to prove that cancer came directly from Agent Orange. So,
right.
Like if you construction jobs, building demolition homes or anything like that, or if you were a smoker or anything like that, they could just chop you off the list because it could have been that. Even
right.
Though the doctors are saying, no, this is consistent with this. But now you just have to use your service record and where you were at certain times, and you can, you know, you can get the coverage. But like Don said, a lot of them are dead.
Right.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we. I can't see a change in my time, but hopefully younger people, will start raising hell. You can't send our soldiers over there for no damn reason, no good reason. I had to watch Major General Smedley Butler's YouTube tapes today or yesterday. Just listening to him explain to all the wars he's been in and in a coup that they wanted him to be a part of. Just listening to him about war, he realized when he got older that none of these wars were about democracy and protecting the United States of America. It was always about big business and bankers, and it took him a while. It took him a long while, he said, to realize that. So people ought to check out that YouTube He's even got a, well, he's dead now. He's been dead for a long time, but he wrote a book, small book, but it's a book. And he also, there's a, if you can find it, they might have taken it off. There was the, he was testifying in front of Congress about the coup. Of course, that never came to pass. He busted all these people, but nobody went to prison because they were too big to fail. They were too big. They had too much money. And you're talking about Prescott Bush and all these people who supported the Nazis at the time. But he'll tell you all about war, and he was in plenty of them. Okay. All right. Okay. Anyway, let me get to this real quick. Hundreds of Toronto residents, this was today, the 21st, I don't know how many showed up. They want to end fluoride in their water, and they were going to assemble at City Hall in Toronto. And everybody's starting to realize what fluoride is and how bad it is for you. And in Toronto, it's been in their water for 50 years. And so they were holding I guess we should have done this some other time, but it happened today, and I don't know how many actually showed up.
I'm going to my Canadian paper to see if I can find out.
Okay, you go check that out. But they were protesting. They want that out of their water system. And a lot of cities in America are doing the same thing. So they're actually taking it out. Not as quick as they should. Now, Bob, how about Al Jazeera got the Benghazi report before Congress did? Now, what do you think about that?
Got the report that was something was going on?
And when he blasted the chairman of the investigative panel on Benghazi attacks for allowing it to report its report to be leaked to Al Jazeera, America, before Congress even obtained copies of it. The investigative copies, Al Jazeera got a hold of a damn thing before our own Congress did.
That's not good.
Now, how in the hell does that happen?
Well, apparently somebody's got some stocks in that TV station, so they flipped it too.
It's crazy.
I don't know. I didn't hear that. This is the first I heard about that.
It says the report found that the State Department knew of security problems in Benghazi and failed to do anything about it. One of the fundamental challenges and problems is the United States Congress doesn't have this report, according to one of the senators. And yet, the first time it comes out, it's on Al Jazeera. That's where we got to get this stuff. So, well, you know, for the watch. I guess you don't watch CNN or MSNBC.
You know, they actually took that channel off my cable.
What's that?
Al Jazeera, or however you say it.
Al Jazeera?
Yeah.
Oh.
As soon as it bought over, bought up, they took it off. Not even on there anymore.
I don't know how many people have that channel. We don't.
Like I said, when your buddy owned it, they had it. But as soon as it was bought out and it switched, it was on the day that it started. It was gone. They pulled the plug on it. So.
Well, I don't know.
I kind of wanted to see it just to, you know, see what what kind of leads you were going to get from it, just to be, you know, nosy, but never got to see it, so I have no clue.
Well, their newspaper, their news, on my other computer, I've got the, I got their website, their news site online. I think you do too, don't you, Cinnamon?
Yeah.
They're one I didn't have.
You can get that in either American, or you can get it back then. You could Arabic.
Yeah. I think the last time I went to it, you can get it in a bunch of different languages.
But I like going to different places like you do and seeing what they say about us. We know what the hell we say about them. I want to know what they say about us.
Yeah.
Now, did you see the parent that was arrested? And where was it? Maryland?
Maryland. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, over Common Core. They didn't want the man to talk. I thought he needed to say some more things. And I think he said he was a college graduate. I think
he was.
Told the I've got the tape.
I don't remember what school he graduated from.
I can't remember. Play the tape, Rick.
Oh, okay.
If it plays. You cannot hardly hear it, so. Okay, parents did complain or ask questions, and they're not for Common Core, but of course, Maryland State Department of Education reportedly plans to go forward with implementation of Common Core. So that was earlier in the week. And parents, I still ask people, I tell them about Common Core to people I know has got kids, and they have no clue. They don't have a clue.
Well, you know, there's something that was funny about that, or seemed odd to me about that video. And I don't know how it works in different states or whatever, but that guy that was supposed to have been with it, they claimed to be a police officer.
He pulled his badge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and?
He had a security shirt on, but he pulled his badge. A lot of police officers, when they wear security, instead of their police uniform, they carry it on a chain around their neck so they can just whip it out.
Okay, because that's a little different than it is here, because here, like, they've got school cops, I guess is what you call them.
Here. Right.
And that's what they are. They're security. And they have a badge, too, but it's just a badge that says you're security for the whatever school district you work at. They're not actually cops. They're security guards.
Right. We have security guards with badges, too.
And the cops are there, they have a police shirt on. That's why I thought it was kind of weird. Like I said, that's just how it's here. I don't know how it is at another place.
And police in Michigan, they can moonlight.
Uh-huh. Same here.
And it's like, you know, that's what it is, moonlighting.
Right.
Make a few extra dollars. They also got the power of the badge behind them.
Right. Well, like I said, I thought maybe it was one of the school security system people's what I thought that was. I didn't think it was a police officer.
Yeah, it was a police officer. He pulled out cuffs and everything. At the back of the building, or the room, he pulled out his cuffs. He's taking
the
young man to jail.
Yeah, the bottom line is the guy should have been able to ask his question. He never really got a chance to ask his question because they didn't want to hear what he had to say.
What it sounds like is they get, like the president, he gets pre-approved questions, and everybody submits what question they want to ask, and, you know, they choose which ones they want to ask.
I don't think that's the school board, though.
No.
That's what he kept saying. He said for the other people that submitted their questions.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. He did say that.
I think they got nervous because he was bringing up things that they didn't want these parents to know, and they were afraid that these people would go, you know, I ain't gonna say crazy, but get a little bit out of hand, so they tried to cut it off before that happened.
Or they didn't want the rest of the parents to know what Common Core was.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Now, did you also read, Bob, that... I don't know how your questionnaire, I remember you getting one. I don't know if it's the same kind. In the articles, have you received a government questionnaire that asks you to disclose personal information and threatens a $5,000 penalty if you don't? Have you heard anything about this?
That sounds like the one that I got.
Oh, it does. That's... this is a minute and 56 seconds. Go and play. I haven't played this yet. I don't know what it is. Well, of course, we got to skip this commercial here that's coming our way. And there we go.
So every 10 years, the Department of Commerce sends out the U.S. Census. It happened in 2010. and it won't happen again until 2020. And simply put, the census is a count of heads, so the government knows how many members to send to the U.S. House of Representatives. All that leading up to, I just received the American Community Survey sent out by the U.S. Census Bureau. Now, the American Community Survey consists of 28 pages of extremely intrusive questions, such as, how many rooms do you have in your house? What do you use those rooms for? How many bathrooms do you have? What kind of fuel do you use to heat your home? What time do you get up to go to work?
That's pretty much like what you had to fill out, isn't it?
That's exactly what I got. That's exactly what I got.
What was your last job? They want addresses. What is your annual income? And it goes on and on and on. Now, they tell you that your response is required by law. And if you don't answer the survey, if you don't answer this census, you can be fined $5,000. They also tell you that any question that you answer that may be considered a lie, that's another fine up on top of that. Now, the interesting thing is that when they send the American Community Survey to your home, they send it to resident. So the question is, if they're going to fine you, who are they going to fine? Every single question in this thing is invasive and totally unconstitutional. And as an act of civil disobedience, I am not returning this thing. Once again, if they want a head count every 10 years, not a problem. Anything else? It's none of your business, guys. So anyway, this thing is sitting on my desk, and I'll let you know what happens. Talk to you later. Bye.
And now, I've seen that, and I didn't listen to the tape, but I read some of it, and I said, boy, that sounds almost like what Bob got in the mail a year and a half ago.
That's exactly what I got. They wanted to know how many rooms you had in your house, how did you heat your house. What was the income in your house, total income of your house? They were asking all kinds of, what bank did you use? Those are the ones that come off the top of my head. There was a whole bunch of them that were just...
Yeah, there was more. Yeah.
Totally none of the business. And second of all, if they really want to know, the government agency knows all that shit anyway as it is now. So go look it up yourself.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt about it. And that's why I didn't fill it out.
You're right. You didn't.
I file taxes every year. So if they want to know what you made, you know, what your household income was, go look at my tax records. I file them every year. It ain't like you can't get your hands on them.
And they don't need to know how many rooms you have in your house.
Well, technically, they go to the county, and the county can tell them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, these questions they were asking is information. If they really wanted to know, they could find out themselves. And they do know. They were too late to do it, and they want you to fill out the paperwork for them.
I can't imagine 28 pages of...
I don't think mine was that... I know mine wasn't that thick. Mine was something like maybe 10, something like that.
Man.
So, because it was a booklet is what it was.
Yeah.
It was basically similar to the censors. Remember when you had to fill out your censorship?
Right.
That booklet, it was basically the same thing. They just asked different questions. You know, more questions. But like I said, nowadays, they know all this already. Hell, they know what phone company I use. They know who I talk to. They know when I text messages. So you want to find it, just get it yourself. You already got it.
Yep.
You know, so, but, yeah. But back to that guy, you know, the one that parent, you know.
Oh, okay, a Common Core.
Yeah, that's the problem with people. You know, if this guy was started to say some of the things that he was saying, you know, I'd damn sure check into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're right.
Parents, And I bet you half of them didn't. Oh, that's a nutcase. You know what I mean?
You're probably right. That's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, they never heard of Common Core before, and they're not going to, well, this guy's a conspiracy nut.
Well, down here, I mean, it's all over the place.
Oh, I know.
That's all down here. Even on some of the talk shows that they have down here, they had, you know, the one that I listen to every morning?
Right.
They had a lady, because they're Cybercat, is that what you call it? When you're played in another state?
You what now?
When you're on the radio and you're...
Syndicated?
Syndicated, okay. They're syndicated in like three other states, this radio, these guys that I listen to. And Louisiana is one of them. And a teacher had called, and she was talking about, and she was, you know, like I said, she was a teacher, and like she, you know, she said, she put it this way, she said, you know, I really can't get on the radio here and say too much because I need my job. I have to have my insurance because I got a family to feed and all that type of stuff, which I understood. You know, I understand as a teacher that you can't go too crazy about it because you're going to end up losing your job by your district will fire you. But
right.
They were talking about in this district in California, in Louisiana, that they stopped saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And now they're starting to make these kids say the Pledge of Allegiance to the world. Have you heard anything about that?
I did hear, and I can't find that article. It was there, and it's gone.
I Googled it. I Googled that thing.
Did you find it?
Yes, I did.
Well, good man.
It's basically, instead of pledging your allegiance to the United States, you pledge allegiance to the world. That you will, it's like a, I call it like a tree hugger type thing. You know, keep your water clean. Be nice to other people, foreign people, you know, in other countries. And I mean, it's weird. It is a weird type of thing. But you need to Google it and check it out and just read it.
I will. I will
just
do
call,
that.
Pledge allegiance to the world.
Wow.
And they're making these kids stand up and do this.
And the kids don't know any better?
Oh, no. She taught elementary school. Now, if they're doing it in the junior highs and high schools, I doubt it very seriously. Because
right.
These kids are already, you know, they were raised by singing the national anthem. So this is something they're starting with these kids in elementary school now. So, you know, a few years down the road, you know what I'm saying? It'll be into the system because these kids don't know no better. You know, they're brainwashing them, basically, is what they're doing. That's what I call it.
Right.
Well, that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah. So, but it just blew my mind. And she was squealing on it. But like I said, down here, it's become a big deal. Like I said, you hear about it all the time now. And, you know, I guess from what I understand, when the original, the Common Core, I guess, premises of it really wasn't a bad idea. It's just what they added to it afterwards, what they started expanding it into it. You know, sort of like your health care. You know what I mean? You know, it started off, it was going to be this, and then all of a sudden you find all these other things that was added and put in. But the original concept of it was basically to, they set up guidelines they said, okay, these kids got to know this, to this level, whatever it is. And how you get to that level, it doesn't matter as long as you reach it to that, to the testing point. But between the different states and different people that started adding things to it, it's become one giant. It's bullshit. I mean, that's basically all you can say. They've added so much to it and changed it to where they're even going to collect all this information from these kids and put it in computer systems. That wasn't part of the original thing. This was all added to it afterward.
I'm trying to find, I got all kinds. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I'm trying to find what a school kid. What the name of it?
I pledge allegiance to the world.
Hold on. I got it. I know what I did wrong.
Okay.
I didn't spell it right. I didn't. I've left out allegiance. And now I got to figure out. I think I spelled it. A-L-L-E-G-I-A-N-C-E, I think.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, okay. I left that out. I usually do that when I don't know how to spell something. And I knew how to spell it, and I just freaking erased it. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, while he's doing that, I've got a little bit about Fukushima. Now we know Fukushima is still leaking.
Right.
For Japan to get the Olympic Games in 2020, they had to assure the board that the contamination, that Fukushima is no longer leaking, that they've got it contained, and that cleanup is moving right along. So he pretty much lied and told them that, yeah, it was. He said that they did the stupid ice wall, and they did some kind of chemical wall, supposedly in the ground. Well, it's still leaking out into the Pacific Ocean. He turned around and he told them, told TEPCO that he wants all of them shut down. It's supposed to be 1 through 4 is going to be shut down. Now he wants to decommission number 5 and number 6 also, which those are the two that didn't cause any damage. But they think it's partly because of the Olympics, being able to get the Olympics in 2020, which they were approved to have. That was just this week, was the approval for it. Now, TEPCO found bolts in the bottom of one of the tanks, 5 bolts. And the bolts are supposed to hold these rubber seals down. And so that's where the water's leaking. It's leaking out into the ocean. It's leaking out into the ground, and it's getting into the groundwater, and it's going into the ocean. And they just found, I think it was yesterday. Let me look at the top of this article. Oh, no, it was last week. They just found that that radioactive substances are in a drainage ditch that directly goes into the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
So,
let's go have a lobster and some crab legs.
I know. It's bumming me out, man. I want some scallops bad, and I don't know where scallops come from. And people keep putting tuna on sale, and I'm like, I can't eat tuna. So this is an ongoing disaster, and you would think our coast is the one it's going to, all this is drifting to, and you haven't seen anything in the mainstream news about it.
No, you won't.
Now, they were saying that the levels are and this is TEPCO themselves that stated it, that the levels were 12 times greater, 12 times higher than what the government had deemed to be safe for bone cancer. So, joy.
Well, what they did was raise the level, if you remember right, when this happened.
This is the raised level. It's still 12 times higher than the raised level.
Oh, they raised it again?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So, now...
we're safe.
Just to add a little bit more onto that, Fukushima was hit by a typhoon this week.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Yeah. It was hit on the 19th. No, it was hit on the 18th. And they admitted they dumped 1,300 tons of contaminated water directly into the sea out of one of the containment tanks. There was that much rainwater got in there and overflowed the tank, and they dumped the tank into the sea. But once the rainwater got in there, it became contaminated. So it was radioactive. So they're just willy-nilly. Can't figure out how to shut it down. We know we screwed up, and we're, you know, and there's a bunch of people in Japan that are on the list to sue. But now they're trying to scramble in the government, and they're, besides telling them they have to shut down, and the shutdown's not going fast enough, because it's Fukushima number one that's leaking the most, and that's the one that's being decommissioned right now. And it's not going fast enough, so the government wants to go in and split the company in two and take over half of it to try and get this all shut down. Plus, they're also worried about the stocks. They don't want to keep saying anything about the extra leaks because it'll cause big drops in the stock. And the Japanese get 35% of their energy from nuclear power. So they're worried about what they're going to, and you know, the rising cost of their energy and what they're going to end up going to next.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was done. But people need to, you can go look at, just Google the tidal maps and for the oceans, and it all swirls between Japan and the United States, and it just goes in a big loop. It's not going to get where it's bad.
Yeah, and well, I found one pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the banks that run the United States of America and to the police state for which they fund, one world under constant debt from chronic warfare with misery and slavery for all except banks.
And he salutes. You got to love it.
No. I pledge to respect the web of life upon it, and to honor the dignity of every member of our global family, one planet, one people, one world in harmony, with peace, justice, and freedom for all. That's what they're having these kids do.
New world order. Right there.
That's what it is.
Well, I remember Red Skelton when I was little. He did the Pledge of Allegiance, which was awesome. And there ain't nobody can do it better than him to me. Now
before my time.
What?
I said that was before my time.
Oh, come on now. Well, yeah, it was. It would be because you're young and I'm old.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. There's
my man,
I
Red.
Left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Lasswell was his name. Mr. Lasswell.
This could be a funny one.
He says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands.
I better stop.
Well, I was going to say, somebody should send that video.
Oh, well, you...
to our representatives.
Yeah.
The funny thing, the Indians now, this AIM group have started something, but now they're against me for some reason. But I am the only man in pictures that all...
That was my main man, John Wayne. Anyway, that was... I remember that, and I couldn't... That's the first time I've seen it in a long time, so... And I didn't play it all. There's a lot more. But it's very good, and you ought to listen to it.
Well, you ought to put it on in the chat room so I can get it.
Oh. Look it up. It's right there where you're at.
Oh, well, I'm gone from wherever I was at. Got a question.
Question.
What do you think about that football player? That these kids went into his house.
Oh.
His second house, destroyed it. The kids put on Facebook, took pictures, put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
He took the pictures off of Facebook and, redistributed them out, and now the parents are threatening to sue the football player. Now, isn't that a goddamn joke?
You know what?
The parents should be thankful that he's not going to press charges because he didn't want to throw them all into the system and have them go even further down the road that they're going.
But if they went to court, that football player would probably lose.
Well, I don't know how he could lose, but you're probably right.
There's a hell of a lot of things I don't
understand.
I can't explain. But
I just thought it was funny. These kids were posting it. He got their pictures off of Facebook that they put on there themselves of them with beer bottles and drinking and, you know, taking pictures of them tearing up his shit.
Yeah.
That's just unbelievable to me.
Like I said, the parents better step back and think about that, because he could have pressed charges and every single one of them would have been up with a felony because of the amount of damage that they did. Besides,
well,
the
I'm not sure.
Underage and the, drug buying and stuff like that.
Well, I'm not so sure that they're not going to have charges pressed against them anyway.
Well, he's not pressing the charges.
No, he won't, but the insurance company will.
They maybe not. It's going to, you know, it's kind of up in the air. And the prosecutor could just go ahead and see what's going on and go ahead and,
Yeah. I mean, me personally, I think that and then he turned around and invited all these kids that did this to come to some, I guess it was a function he was having with retired military.
Oh, okay.
No, military. From like Afghanistan and all those, they were to so they could be around people that they should admire. You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah.
To bring them in. And three out of that whole bunch, three showed up.
Well, you know, the rest of them were just probably scared to death.
Well, like I said, the police have already got all these pictures. So if the police want to go after them, they're going to go get them anyway. It ain't going to be hard to find. I'm sure they're all in the high school that whatever town he's in. Pull up into the high school, they probably find all of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It ain't going to be hard to get them. You got somebody on hold. You going to bring them up?
I'm not even on the switchboard. If you're on, bring them on up.
Okay. 360, you there?
Yeah, that would be me.
That'd be you. What's going on,
Critic?
I'm just sitting here listening.
Hello, Critic.
Hello.
But yeah, Cinnamon, I can't believe these parents would even want to run their mouth. Even,
you know why they're running their mouth is they found out whose house it was that these kids trashed, and they're looking for a chunk of change.
What are they going to... Now, you know, this guy, he doesn't look like he's too young. And it ain't like he played, I'm going to say...
No, he's an...
he's an older guy, so he didn't make all that money with these players are making now. At least it doesn't look like it to me.
No.
You know, I don't know for sure, but looking at his age, he ain't like one of those players that were making 15 and $20 million a year.
And I don't know who it is. I don't even remember the... was he a cowboy?
I don't remember.
Well, he had a cowboy jersey on when I seen it.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I don't know either.
I don't want to. I'll see if I can find.
Well, that's okay. It doesn't matter. Just people are so happy in this country, and that's just all there is to it.
You know, it's somebody else's responsibility. It's never their own. Blame everybody else.
Exactly.
It's fault.
If it was my kids, I would not be threatening this other person for embarrassing my child. I'd have had my kid over there with a
paintbrush.
A cleanup unit and 15 gallons worth of paint.
And thanking this man for pressing charges and for not doing more than he could.
Yeah,
this man is a dude.
The reality of it is the parents are the ones who are going to have to pay for it anyway.
They should. Boy, I seen the pictures of the house.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, the parents are the ones who are going to have to pay for it anyway. So I'm like Cinnamon. I'd be over there kissing the dude's butt. Because I think it was something like, and the amount, from what I've seen in the videos.
Right.
Now, they're saying that was only $20,000 worth of damage. I don't buy that, but that's what they say. I mean, they painted all his house, tore out the carpet, ruined everything in that house.
Yeah.
I think it's more than $20,000, but that's what they were saying that it was. I just couldn't believe that, you know.
You know, the first thing I'd do is tear their asses up with a belt so fast until they couldn't see straight. And then the second thing, I'd probably go over there and tell the guy to press charges against him to teach him a lesson.
I would,
that's
too.
That's the problem. That won't teach him anything, because the way this court system works, these kids, you know, they don't suffer the consequences. The court system interested in the...
I don't know how old the kids were, Bob, but if the parents went in there and talked to this this football player and said, let's do this, because it'll teach them a great lesson, and the judge would have to go along with both parties, for God's sake.
Yeah.
The parents are saying it's teach these kids a lesson before it's too late.
Right, I understand that aspect. I'm talking as far as the money value of it. These kids aren't responsible. That's what I'm saying. Now, I have no problem, like you said, the parents going to talk to the guy and say, okay, this is what we'll do. We'll pay for your carpet. We will pay for the paint. We will pay for, you know, whatever trim work needs to be done, whatever that. We'll pay for that out of our pocket. But as far as the labor's concerned, I've got 23 kids over here that are going to do the labor.
There you go.
Know, now, that I could see. You know, that would be the right way to handle that. You know, to where the kids do. But the point that I was trying to make was, even when they take these kids and they take them to the courts as a regular, like anybody else when they go to court, the parents are supposed to end up having to pay these kids. You know, sort of like those two kids that beat the hell out of that kid on the school bus. They got a year of probation. That was it.
Yeah, but there's not much you could do to the juvenile. I don't know how states work.
But that's the point I'm trying. That's the point I'm saying. These kids really didn't suffer a consequence. I don't even think it was a year, to be honest with you.
Right.
I think it was less than that. But their consequences were nothing. If me or you would have done something like that, we'd be behind bars.
No, yeah, well, absolutely.
And that's why these kids don't learn anything, because there is no consequences to their actions. They don't have any. That's why you see these robbing people and everything.
Exactly. And they don't have no respect. And it's parents, and it's a whole a slew of things. They were, you know, people blame, you know, they're watching all this TV that, you know, and it's violent TV. I know that. But doggone, if you have parents that give a damn, they know right from wrong. They know right from wrong.
Well, that's the point. And for these people to get up here and say, you know, like they did with this guy, well, he played video games for 17 hours, and that's the reason why he did what he did. They asked this particular TV on, well, what's on TV? Well, even on the TV shows, there's always consequences to even on the TV shows. Some guy robs him. At the end of the movie, the guy gets killed. There's a consequence. You know what I mean? Or he goes to prison. There's always a consequence. Even on the TVs, these violent shows that everybody's trying to blame it all on. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
There's no right from wrong. I mean, every parent, I don't care. Well, I ain't going to say a parent because I can't really say that. But the majority of the parents out there teach their kids right from wrong when they're starting from when they were in diapers. You know what I mean? So they know right from wrong, the majority, a good percentage of them. I'm just tired of that. It rubbed me the wrong way, because just yesterday, on the side of town that my mom lives on, somebody was at a Subway sandwich shop eating dinner.
Right.
Two kids went in there and robbed the place and shot the guy. And killed him. Over a couple hundred bucks.
Why your mom?
That's
was...
all they got out of there. Over on the side of town, over by where my mom lives. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and they were 16-year-old kids, and it seems like every time I turn the TV on, you see these people that are getting shot and killed and robbed and all that. The majority, a lot of times, it's kids that are doing it.
Yeah.
You know, either, you know, younger kids or young adults, you know, 21, 23, you know, in that age, to 15 to 16. That's all I see anymore. You know, couple weeks ago, a kid bumped into another kid at a school, and he stabbed him to death because he bumped his shoulder.
What about these little bastards up here in Spokane that beat that 88-year-old veteran to death?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
88-year-old. You know,
people that are raising children these days, they better wise up. Stop trying to blame society and everybody else because you can't raise your damn kids.
No, I'm sorry to have to say to make it political, but that's your progressive cunt values. It's everybody else's fault except for, you know, the kids' fault. You know, don't listen to these psychologists. Don't yell at your kids because it'll give them a complex. You know, don't spank your kids and stuff because that's an abuse. You know, nobody is a loser. They got to get an award for everything in school just for showing up, for tying their shoes. And there's just no consequences to anything. And that's what happens.
One of the other problems.
I did my part. I'm done.
There's too many parents that are just calling it in. You know, they get them to a stage where they think they're self-sufficient, and then they kind of sit back because they've got, you know, the same thing with the news. They don't have the extra time.
Kids nowadays, they're never self-sufficient. They're 30 years old and still coming home to Papa wanting something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you bet.
I speak it from experience.
What you say, you lived at home with your mama when you were 30?
No, I got my oldest boy. He's married and all that. Come knocking on my door. Mom, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? Can I borrow this? Can I borrow that? They ain't self-sufficient. Little bastards.
God.
Well, let's face it, it's a lot harder to make it in these days and times. And
I understand that. I'm just saying that kids nowadays, and you know, you do what you can do for them, and no matter what, when they come back knocking at the door and they have a problem or whatever, you're always going to help your own kids. But I can still bitch about it. All right? Yeah.
Never enough, Bob.
You know, I'd never say no to him, but I can still bitch about it.
You bet. No, I understand. Now, how about the unions finding out exactly what's in Obamacare and raising holy hell with Obama? What do you think about that? What we've been saying all along, and now, of course, all but the UAW hasn't said anything, but there's a whole hell of a lot of unions out there going, are you out? You promised us this. We can keep our own doctors, we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And Here's a guy. Let me play it.
President Terry O'Sullivan from the Labor.
This is Trunka talking
you,
right
Mr.
there.
Chairman.
Not this
my
guy.
My name is Terry O'Sullivan, General President of the Labor's International Union of North America and a 39-year member of LIUNA. On behalf of the Labor's International Union, I rise to support resolution number 54. While we have concerns that it does not go far enough, because brothers and sisters, if the Affordable Care Act is not fixed and it destroys the health and welfare funds that we have all fought for and stand for, then I believe it needs to be repealed. We don't want it repealed. We want it fixed, fixed, fixed. And I commend Rich Trumka and the AFL-CIO for leading that charge. Each and every one of us in this room know the positive aspects of the Affordable Care Act. There are many. And we all support those. But we can't have the unintended consequences for the proud men and women that we represent to be collateral damage in the healthcare fight in this country. We're getting our ass there and everywhere when it comes to retirement security. And now our health and welfare funds are under siege. So we beg the president, we ask the president, we ask the Congress of the United States of America to do the right thing, to do the right thing for the proud men and women that we represent. There isn't a union member in our movement that has ever been a drag on the healthcare system in this country. We've not only paid our fair share, but through cost shifting, we have paid for the indigent and the poor. And each and every one of us is proud of that. We will continue to do that. But we'll be damned if we're going to lose our health insurance because of unintended consequences in a law. It needs to be changed, it needs to be fixed, and it needs to be fixed now, brothers and sisters.
What happened?
Our union, like yours, was founded 110 years ago. And each and every one of us beam with pride about the history of our organizations. And each of our organizations have in its history historic moments, historic fights. I love listening to Cecil when he talks about the mine workers and Rich and the history of their organizations. We fought. We went on strike. We laid down in the street to get health insurance. We can't afford to have a law that takes it away. We will work with the president to do everything we possibly can to make the Affordable Care Act work for the proud men and women of the American labor movement. You know, we came here to talk about a new movement, and we're for that. Let's not forget about the old movement, the one that got us here in the first place. The men and women, the retirees that are banking on us to stand tall and to stand strong and to make sure, as the president said, if you like your health insurance, you can keep it. We want him to live up to that promise, and we will work with him to do that. Vice President Biden, I won't use his exact words, right? Well, I remember, and you remember, the picture of him whispering in the president's ear with the passage of the Affordable Care Act. And he said that this is a big frickin' deal. Well, we need to make sure that we raise our voices loud, brothers and sisters, and say it's going to be a big frickin' deal if we, our members, lose our health insurance. So on behalf of the Labor's International Union, I stand to support resolution number 54 and ask for you to do the same.
Now, these are the same people that poured millions of dollars, Trunka, this guy, all the unions, and look what happened. Look at them cry.
Well, there's two reasons they're crying.
What's that?
Well, you know why they're crying, don't you? I think they were told they were going to be exempt like some of these other places. And when Obama started doing all these exemptions and people threw a fit about how he was giving exemptions to all these major corporations, then, you know, which he did, on some of them, like Walmart and all these other ones. When it came to the union's time and he was getting the heat about exempting them all, He didn't exempt the union, and it pissed off the union. Now that's why the
plan. If I remember right, the UAW is exempt for a while. I think
right, 2018. Yeah, I know there's some that were exempt for a certain period.
Yeah, Tronca was up on all these stations, especially in 2008 and 12, just going on and on, and how we got to put this man back in office. And he always brought up Affordable Care Act, and it's funny now that what in the hell, they just now read this thing? I mean, come on, did they just now read what is going on in that health bill? Yeah, but you notice it's only about them. It's only about, it's not about the rest of the people. It's only about the union. The hell with the rest of the people that aren't in the union.
He is a fool. First of all, there weren't unintended consequences. There were intended consequences. Usually where you could read, now I'm not even sure if this is even true anymore because they amended it so many damn times and stuff. You know, you have to have a team of lawyers and people to keep up with it. But when it was in its infant stage, before it passed with the two House and Senate bills, usually you could read the contradiction within the same page that they would make all these claims about, oh, you're going to get to keep your health insurance, your kids can be on it until you're 26, it's not going to tax and pay under 200. Then when you usually read within the same page or the next page or something, usually that's where the contradiction was to that. Now I don't know what it's like anymore, but and that's all they had to do was read.
Man, I wish I could find my
the same page. But they, you know, but they
refused. No, you're right. No, you are right. They wanted a liberal in there so bad. They didn't give a damn about anything else. And if people are hurting, even the people that aren't in a union are hurting, it's going to hurt the unions because they're not going to buy the products. They haven't figured that out yet.
Well, I can't find my wife's paper.
You.
Let me tell you. Well, we're talking about this healthcare bullshit. She got a letter in the mail last week from her insurance company. Okay, well, at one time I didn't have insurance on my wife.
Right.
My son couldn't afford it through my thing. So we joined, remember? Okay.
Yeah.
So my wife got insurance through the company she worked at. Well, she got a letter yesterday, or last week, that she's informed now as of, and I forgot the date that it was. But the letter goes into saying that basically they put some of this stuff on hold until, I guess, next year instead of doing it, pull it into effect, they're holding some of it out into further, next year, whatever. Okay. But in this letter it says, because her hours got cut. She was one of those ones that got cut to the, she was working like 38 hours, 36 hours a week, but they cut it down to
29?
Below, it's lower than that.
Wow.
It was like 23 hours a week.
Whoa.
And that was supposed to go into effect at the beginning of next month. Well, that's been pushed off. So they're going to let them work the the hours that they're working now until this they decide to push in this other part. But
really?
In that letter also said that as of November of this year,
mm-hmm.
her insurance was dropped. You're going to have to go to the Obama and the exchange. And that was the reason why we got it, so we wouldn't have had to do that.
Wow.
So they're going to drop her insurance in November. So I'm assuming that this stuff's going to go into effect in either December or January. For the part that they're holding back. But I can't find the damn letter. But that's basically what's happened to her. She's going to lose her insurance anyway. She's going to be forced to go into that exchange.
And you're going to have to pay, and you got lower hours.
Yep.
And that's going on all over the country.
Yep.
All over the country.
I have to figure out how I'm going to squeeze.
Oh, man.
$6 or, well, no, what was it? Was it three? About $800 a month out of my paycheck to put her on my insurance. Because looking at the Obama shit, you know, that Affordable Care Act bullshit,
right?
It's gonna cost about the same thing as if I just added to my insurance. Add her and my son's insurance. It's about the same cost. So that the exchange is a bunch of crap. Affordable Care bullshit.
That is.
Anyway, that's what I got to do.
You
should have brought that up. I wish I could find the letter. I can't find it.
I thought it started in October.
That's when open enrollment starts.
Oh, open enrollment.
Right. Uh-huh. But they're going to keep it until whenever the full, they said the part that they pushed off. She's going to be able to keep her insurance. And I think I'm almost positive it was November. Then after that, she has to fall into the exchange. If you want it.
The only people that are going to end up getting covered that isn't going to kill them are people that are going to be on Medicaid. And most of those people were already on Medicaid to begin with.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that you're going to see more people on Medicaid and you're going to see more Medicare and you're going to see more of the services basically rationed.
Well, yeah, because right here in our state, we just... we raised the eligibility for Medicare to for the exchange. I can't remember by how much we raised it, but it was quite. There's going to be quite a bit more people that are going to be on Medicaid.
Well, it's going to be, you know, unfortunately, it's going to affect more than these people that's got these so-called part-time jobs. Some of these companies that, because I got a letter on one of these. To what the fine is if you don't do it, these companies, it's cheaper for them to pay the fine because I think it's, you know, now I'm not talking major corporations. I'm talking about, like, you know, small businesses, what they consider small businesses.
Yeah.
If you got, I think it's if you got under 50 or 20, I think it's either 50 employees, I think it is. Is that what it is, 50?
Yeah, 50.
Yeah, if it's under 50, that doesn't apply to you anyway. And if you're in that range of, say, 50 to 100, the fine is like something like $95
yeah,
per month or something like that, something to that, somewhere in that range.
But it's just like the individual healthcare, you know, you get a fine for not having insurance if you don't go out and get it.
I think it's $95.
Well, what they, on the individuals, what they figure the first The first year, I think it's only 1%, and then it goes up each year that you don't get it. And I think it caps off at 25% of what your wages are.
Okay, well, I was reading something where it averaged out to be
for a
company with $95 per person is what their would be their fine the first, I guess what you said, the first year?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like $95. It would average out to be $95 per person. Well, hell, these companies pay more than $95 for your health insurance.
Oh, yeah.
So it would be better for them to go ahead and just drop your stuff and pay the $95. So they'll pay the $95, then you and the employee there will all of a sudden not have insurance. And if you don't get on it, then you're going to have to pay whatever you said, 1% of whatever your
I think it starts out, it's something small. It might be 3%, but something small.
Yeah. So, like I said, for these not small companies that are under 50, but these medium type companies, it'll be cheaper for them just to drop your insurance, make you go find your own shit, and they pay the penalty. So it's gonna affect more than just, you know.
In order for what I read, in order for Obamacare to work, and I believe I read this, I read it today, and I hope I got the number right. I know it's 7, but I think it's 7 million. Young people will have to sign up to pay in for us old. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's the same, you know, same thing as Social Security. It's a Ponzi scheme, and for it to work, it's got to have at least 7. I believe it was 7 million young people have to sign up. Now, I don't.
Now here's the kicker. Yeah, but here's the kicker on that, because when they were talking, I seen something about that, and they were talking between the age of something like 21 or
24. 18
to
20, wasn't it?
24, okay.
36 or?
Oh, no, that's not the number. I know the number that I seen, and I knew the number wasn't right because the way that this law goes into effect was that you could stay on your parents' health care insurance until you're, what, 23?
27. Or 7?
Okay, then that's okay. If it's 27. So 17. How are these young people are going to pay for it when they're sticking on to their mom and dad's insurance company? How are they going to pay for it?
Supposedly, by that age, they would be in a decent job where they can pay for things.
Okay, but like I said, they'll stay on their parents' insurance. You think they're going to pay for their own insurance when mama and daddy's paying for it?
Yeah, but mama and daddy may not be able to keep them on until that age. Because typically, you could stay on until you were 23 with the
As long as you stayed in school.
Well, yeah.
This new law, it doesn't matter if you're in school or not. You can stay on 27, and that's what they were saying. Do you really think that these kids are going to go out and really, one, there's no jobs out there anyway, really. You know, jobs out there anyway, and these companies that are going to hire them are going to pull the same bullshit as what they're going to do now, which is give less than a 40-hour week anyhow. So they're going to be on their parents' insurance plan until they're 27. So how in the hell are these younger people going to pay this outrageous fee that they were talking about when they're not going to pay for anything?
Can't argue.
They ain't going to pay that higher insurance premium because they ain't going to pay nothing at all.
No.
The point is that that's one of these unintended, it was an intended consequence. You should stop saying it was unintended. It was an intended consequence. And you hear these idiots
about, well, it'll break the system and then we're not getting Medicare for all. Well, how are you going to get Medicare for all with a broke system?
Yeah, somebody's got to pay for it somewhere.
Yeah, I keep hearing all these.
Well, with Medicare is the seniors. They have to. Once you hit 65, you have to pay for it.
You're going to pay for some of it, yeah.
You have to sign up for it. You have to pay for it. There's no choice.
Now, last night I was watching Hannity. Did you by chance catch Hannity last night?
No.
No, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, they had this forum, and that they were talking, that they were specifically talking about this healthcare shit. And they had, like, I think it was like 14 or 15 people on this panel. Seven of them were Republicans, seven of them were Democrats, and they had this woman that was on there, and I see her every now and then, and I don't know what her name is, but she's a big advocate against Obamacare. She always carries the law in this big-ass binder. Have you ever seen her?
No, I haven't.
This book's bigger than the woman. I'm telling you. I mean, this thing is huge. But anyway, on this debate when they were talking about this stuff, after they're sitting there giving these numbers out, telling you how many people are going to end up with working for jobs, you know, having jobs under 30 hours, how many people can't find jobs right now, how many people are on welfare right now, and all this other stuff that's increasing and all this other stuff. These damn Democrats still believe in their mind that this Obamacare is a good thing. It just blew my mind. And they're sitting there giving them all the statistics about it, and they want to sit there, oh, that's a lie. Well, this came from the IRS. Well, that's a lie. This came from you know, just different organizations that they were giving these stats out to. And if these people, it's all a lie to them. It's all political spin. That's what they say. I can't believe this.
A liar. They're going to think everybody else is the same way.
It's a trip.
It's the opposite is true. That's the progressive way, and that's the Hitlerian tactic.
Yeah, but how can you sit there and give out numbers and facts by different organizations, not by Congress, not by the president, you know, not you know, these are, like I said, these are people that are supposed to, like the IRS. They're the ones that are going to control this thing, and these are their numbers.
You know what I always hit them with? I always hit them with, like, with the Tom Hartman types and that school that came on here that one night arguing about how this was such a wonderful thing. I said, well, how is it that you seem to think that the insurance companies who wrote this bill in the first place is somehow now have a sense of themselves and going to all of a sudden care about the American public and all of a sudden regulate themselves, that somehow you don't think that they're not going to profit by this, you know, and they can never answer that question, including the idiot that called in here that one night. Never can answer it. Look, well, it's a step towards the right direction. Really? Can you explain how? But yet you rail about how much Stephen Helmsley, you know, is making and stuff, but you're helping to support his salary, helping him get richer. But you think this is going to help? They can never answer that question.
No, and they don't understand that the like you said, the insurance companies wrote the damn thing, and you don't think they wrote it to lose money? Hell no.
And the time I had Sandra Merrill on my show, now this was, what, 2 or 3 years ago, it was a couple of years ago, the thing I don't think was even a year old, and it was already, they had fused the two bills together, it was already 5,000 pages at that point, or close to it. Now I've heard estimates of somewhere in the area of 20,000, amended pages and all that since that time.
Right.
It's not even the main thing of all the fines and forcing the people the insurance. It's all the doctors and the regulations that they have to follow and stuff. Because, you know, if they don't charge something correctly or putting people's medical records on, electronic, chips or whatever and all that kind of stuff. That's why you have so many. And that's the point that I was trying to argue with your friend, Donnie, Dick, about the fact that just because you're on Medicare doesn't mean that you're going to not have vets to it. Because you got all these doctors leaving the system. Good luck trying to find a good doctor, especially if you're on Medicare or Medicaid.
No, you're right. And they're leaving by the droves. They're going to leave by the droves. Even Alex Jones' father is getting out. He's a dentist, but he's going to get out of the business. Because X-rays they have to take. It's crazy how wild that is, or what kind of forms they have to fill out, and you got to be precise. You cannot be wrong, or you can go to jail.
Well, there's a lot of doctors that I read an article that are looking at going cash only, and they'll fill out certain things for you, and then you have to get reimbursed by your insurance company.
There's some that's doing that.
They're just gonna back away from the insurance altogether.
Well, you can't blame them.
No, not if with Don's insurance, we have to go through a mail order prescription for most of his prescriptions, and it's a nightmare.
Right.
A nightmare.
Yeah.
Anytime that there's a little hiccup, and Don told me that his doctor put an extra person on the staff just to deal with this company.
And they're a pain in the butt.
And when I have to call his doctor's office and say, hey, they need this other information, she'll go, oh. Because I'll go, I'm having a problem with, and she'll go, oh. Let me pass you over to the other person.
Yeah, they're not happy with it. And
that was all before Obamacare.
And you know something, I would have to lift this up, but everybody talks about how Medicare was so wonderful when it went into effect. And I have a feeling, and I would have to research it, but that I have a feeling that Medicare was something that the insurance companies probably proposed originally too, because if I remember correctly, initially it only covered somewhere around 40% of the initial cost of medical expenses, and then you had to get these gap policies to make up the rest.
Oh yeah, that's usually that's what happens. Is you get your benefits through retirement, but then Medicare kicks in. Medicare pays, I think now it pays,
I don't know, don't look at me,
60-80%, and then your regular insurance picks
primary
up the rest.
Well, initially, I think it was only something like 40%. Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going off of, and I've kind of researched this, but I remember, and I know everybody's going to say it's entertainment value, but I remember an old episode of All in the Family about 1973. It was the one where Edith finds the old guy and takes him on to take care of him. And I remember Archie Media had gotten into a thing about the fact of Medicare or something, and that Meathead was quoting some statistic at that time that it only had covered 42%. You know, and this was about, 7 or 8 years after the law had been enacted. But it seems to me that I do remember something about that it may have been up to 45%, some of the research. But the point is that
it basically was a vehicle for people to have to go and buy these gap insurance policies to cover the difference if you didn't want to be out of pocket. Whereas before Medicaid was concerned, you could really go and negotiate with your doctor or that the costs were a lot cheaper at that point.
Well, I'm just going off my experience with my grandparents, and they had their policies from when they retired. You know, they continued health care, and then once Medicare kicked in, Medicare took care of so much, and then the policy picked up the rest.
Your primary.
But on the Medicare thing, you had to buy extra policies for that, right?
On
Medicare?
Primary. My mom is supposed to or pay out of pocket what Medicare doesn't.
Right, but I'm saying Medicare in general. When you join the Medicare, there's one part, there's like part A, B, C, D, all these different parts in it to it. But you're right. It covers 80% if you buy Part A, Part B, Part C, and Part D.
Correct.
Yes. But your true Medicare really doesn't cover crap.
No,
basic Medicare.
Yeah, it's emergency.
The only reason why it does is because it covers 80% is because you bought these other parts to it.
No, because my mom's only stuck with what she had to get, and she hasn't bought one of the gap insurance. But she's healthy. She doesn't go, you know, she doesn't have to go to the doctor. And what it'll cover, it covers. She has to go once a year for a physical. It covers that completely, and she has to
is
go.
That, well, but is this Medicare or this is
Medicare?
Different.
And
okay.
And after that, it's she has to pay for. She has to pay a lot for office visits if she goes in for an office visit, and the rest of it, it's mostly emergency care. So, you know, if she falls down and breaks a bone, it'll pay 80% of that. So it's.
And who pays for her prescription?
If she gets prescriptions, she would pay for them herself.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Like, so, healthy, she's not on it.
Well, I was. Yeah. Because I just know my mom. The way my mom's worked was. She got basic Medicare, but she had to buy like three or four other ones through Medicare. And then she still got a secondary thing to cover for the rest of it.
Yeah.
So if you have a Medicare, don't cover.
Well,
after that, huh?
I said we have 3 minutes left.
10 minutes?
Three.
Oh. Damn. Okay. Well, you better get everything out while you can.
You know, well, according to what Alexandria said, that Medicare at that point only reimbursed doctors $20 per visit for Medicare patients. Now, I would have to assume that that's just a visit alone. I don't think that would include any tests or anything like that.
That's just to walk in the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think my mom pays like 30 to go into the doctor. And then Medicare pays their whatever percent. And that's all the doctor gets.
It's like they can't even afford. They would have to see at least $100 Medicare patients in a day, cover their costs to break even.
Well, that's why these doctors ain't gonna take Medicare. That's why they're thinking of all these other ways, you know, either cash only or whatever. But they're not taking Medicare because, yeah, you're right. They have to see, you know, a buttload of people. Just to pay for their own office space.
Yeah,
I have no problem with them trying to control costs, because I do know that sometimes these doctors kind of go crazy too on their end. But there's got to be some kind of happy medium in between that you got to work. You can't have one, you know, go to one extreme or go to where you ain't going to pay these doctors because you ain't going to end up with no doctors. And that's basically the way it's going. If they went from these doctors charging out the butt and the insurance and the doctor bills being high, to now they want to cut it to be where they only want to give them $10 per person or $20 per person. You have to go somewhere in the middle there.
You got to remember also, I mean, they're in a tug of war between insurance companies because they have to turn around and pay really high premiums on malpractice insurance.
Yeah, that's the other.
Well, you need to pass a law like they did down here where you can't sue a doctor but for so much.
Yeah, see, it's not.
That was one of the laws that they passed down here. You know, used to, like, for malpractice, you could almost sue this doctor for, you know, he chopped off the wrong leg or for whatever. So I'm going to sue this doctor for $1 million. You can't do that no more down here. There's a set limit.
But that was supposed to bring
the cost down, and surprise, surprise, it didn't.
But that doesn't prevent their insurance from going up. What needs to happen is that the insurance companies and the government need to get out of the business of healthcare completely, allow the healthcare industry, and when I say that, I mean the doctors, nurses, practitioners, physicians, assistants, the pharmacists, allow them to regulate and come up with their own provisions. You know, work with people on a, income based or, you know, whatever. Get all these entities out of this business.
Yeah, that's what I did when I was still a waitress. I would call around, depending on which area I was in, like up here, I'd call around and I found two different doctors. One was for dental and one was a regular general practitioner. And I'd ask them, do you accept patients without insurance? And, you know, what do you charge? That kind of thing. And they worked with me. You know, they only did the tests
that were
mandatory at the time, you know, that kind of stuff. And they would kind of base their fees like on my income. And then when I was down closer, I was closer to a clinic, and then that's what you did. You didn't necessarily always see the exact same doctor when you went in, but they based it on your income level.
Well, like the doctor that I go to, if Kyle got sick, realistically it wasn't bad. If Kyle got sick and I needed to take him to the doctor, I paid out of my pocket. Okay? And I would pay like $80 to $100 to take him to the doctor. So to me, that wasn't terribly bad because realistically, you know, what you pay for insurance was three times more than that, considering he doesn't go to the doctor that often. What kills you is when you get into, well, he's got a common cold, so he needs an antibiotic. Well, if you go to the pharmacy and you want to get an antibiotic and you don't have insurance for you, that antibiotic costs you $125.
Right.
That's where your problem comes in. Or you go to a hospital and he's got a broken leg. Well, to put a plastic cast on him and to set his leg, they want to charge you $5,000 for it. That's where your costs come in. It's not your doctors, per se. It's all this other bullshit.
Well, that's where your charity care laws would kick in if you didn't have insurance, and then if you had to go to the hospital, then they would base it on your ability to be able to pay. But, you know,
if you want to go to certain, you know, they do that with certain hospitals, but not very many. There's only two in the city of Houston you can do that with.
Well, yeah, but, you know, but there are laws you do have to look up that you can look up and, you know, figure out what hospitals to go to that honor that code.
because you can get it now with the Obamacare that will, you know, if this thing goes through, that's going to affect
If anybody thinks this shit ain't going to go through, they're crazy. It's going to go through. All this crap that they did this week amounts to nothing.
Oh, yeah. It's just a it's just a ploy.
Well, you know, I don't call it a ploy. I mean, what the House did was, I mean, that's common sense. It was the right thing to do. But it's not going to get through the Senate. And even if by chance, by some great miracle, it gets through the Senate, Obama's going to veto it anyway. So it's not going to go through.
No, it's not going to go through.
You know, like I said, what the House did, they did the right thing. But I just know, everybody knows it's not going to go anywhere after that.
And by the way, if they run out and they shut down, if they say shut down the government, let me tell you, the essentials will be paid for. If it's the non-essentials that won't be paid for. The military will get their paychecks, and although Obama said yesterday, today, and his his address, does every week.
Yeah, weekly address.
Weekly address. He said they won't be paid. Yes, they will.
Yeah, that's not true. He pulled the same crap the last time.
And people believe that shit.
And then when it happened, the only thing that happened was, you couldn't get a tour of the White House?
in the state park.
Like that. Yeah. And he said the same thing that time. Oh, well, we ain't going to have no military. We're not going to have any security. We're not going to have this and that. And none of that shit applied. And he turned, and that's the stupidity of these goddamn people that believe, because he used the same, he's using the same identical bullshit you ain't gonna have your Social Security check ain't gonna get paid for this and that.
Right. Right.
He's pulled the same bullshit out twice, and it's already proven the first time that was a lie, but he's so stupid he's going to bring it out again.
No, hold on. No. He's not stupid. It's the people that believe him.
Yeah, it worked last time.
Well, it didn't work last time.
No. People believed that I won't get a paycheck. My son's in the military. He won't get a check.
But it didn't happen that way the first time.
No. And no, but this time is different.
How is it? It's no different. It's the exact same shit.
I know it is. You know it is.
I mean, every news agency out there that I've looked at, because I even watched 13 and, you know, ABC and it, just to see if they would try to spin it.
Well, don't watch MSNBC because they said it.
I never watched. I watched either ABC or CBS. And both of them came out and said the same. You know, they came out and said, hey, look, this was not going to affect anything. It's going to be just like it was the last time. Your military is going to. They said, that, you know, and I don't know who watches CNBC or whoever or anything. I don't think anybody watches that channel. As a whole, everybody's being informed that this is not going to affect that. Now, you might, like you said, you might have one that was out there saying it was going to. And, of course, we know that's the same one that's in Obama's back pocket. But.
Right. Well, they get paid.
Huh?
they like NPR, MSNBC and NBC get paid to they get a little subsidy from the government.
Right. But you know, but it just amazes me that he comes out. He tries to say the same lie constantly. But it's everything with this man. Even when he gets caught lying, he'll still lie about it again. It might be 3 weeks later, but he's still saying the same lie, even when he gets caught lying.
No, you're right. I agree. Yeah. Or Pelosi. No, of course, Pelosi is indisposed tonight. She's at George Soros' wedding.
Wedding? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the New World Order wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that she was getting her face retouched up with Botox.
I'm kind of curious on who he's with. Do you know what his wife looked like? Is she 21 or something?
Very young. Very,
18
very.
To 19, you know, somewhere around there. You know,
she's
45.
She's 45?
Yeah.
Yes.
Damn. That's older than what I thought he was going to go after. I figured it'd be, you know, like 20 years old or so. With that kind of money, you think you could have bought one?
I think she's African American.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I read the article that he was getting married, but I didn't know. I didn't really care. I didn't read it.
I saw a picture of them, like, after they announced that they were going to get married. She's pretty. She's a hard worker on her own right. She's a career woman, and she's hot looking. I think she's a little bit taller than he is, too, from what I remember on the picture. But, of course, she's probably in heels.
She's not going to be working anytime anymore.
Well,
there will be a job opening.
Well, she's gonna work, but it's not... Work on trying to get that whole thing up, but that's about it.
Well, that's a different story, isn't it?
That's how she's going to get paid, but no, that's cold blood. I shouldn't even say that. That was mean.
But true.
I know, but that still shouldn't have said
it. I'm right there along with you. So.
Oh, God. No. Anyway. Like I said, I just can't believe people believe anything comes out of his mouth anymore.
I love this. I got a tape from University of Southern California. Reporter asking students if Obama deserves the Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Can you believe that?
I didn't see that.
And when they asked him why, they couldn't even tell you why he should earn it, but they said he just should earn one.
No. We'll hear a little bit of it. From campus reform.
Do you think that President Obama deserves his Nobel Peace Prize?
Sure.
What do you think he's done to kind of, you know, promote this?
No idea. I hope so. That's an opinion, right?
And I just feel like, in general, being a good guy, it's just creating a lot more peace and, like, mellow and not and so much anxiety among people. I love Obama, and I think that everything he's doing, everyone's just so hard on him. But, I mean, it's his second year.
I wish I could actually be more intellectual about it and tell you, like, you know, an argument and stuff. I wasn't aware of the Nobel Peace Prize exactly, but I think if he would... then I think it's just, yeah.
Well, I'm from Washington, D.C., so I'm a huge Obama fan, and yeah, I think he does. Yeah.
Well, what sort of things do you think are reasons you think he deserves?
Well, I don't really follow him that much, but I think he does his job really well.
Do you have any examples?
I don't really follow politics.
But you just think he deserves it because you're a fan?
Yeah. Sorry.
In terms of, like, you mentioned, like, Obamacare and all that stuff, so you think that contributes to, like, world peace?
Oh, yeah, totally. I think it's helping everybody become obviously happier, and everyone's becoming, they're getting what they want. They're getting the care that they need, and I feel like he's just, the fact that he is for people, himself. We've had some people compare him wanting to go into Syria with Bush going into Iraq. And what do you think about that?
Bush, I didn't like him. I just don't.
What kinds of things has he done, do you think, to deserve it?
Economy get better. Yeah.
I really respect what he's done with foreign policy.
What things about foreign policy do you respect?
Yeah, I feel like he's strengthened diplomatic ties in countries.
Like, what specifically do you mean in terms of strengthening ties?
Mostly good, good-natured intentions.
Can you believe that? That's our college people.
Yeah, I can believe it because I've seen a lot of with a few shows where they would go on the campuses and ask questions from these idiots, and they're all like that.
And that's California. What a surprise.
What about the kids that said, well, you know, like he's done this and stuff?
Yeah. You gotta
English
love it.
English was not his major.
It reminded me of those idiots of those Occupy movements and stuff like that. They were complaining about the system but still wanted to vote for Obama.
Right.
And a lot of these college kids. But I don't think it's fair to say all of them are like that because a lot of them are more, because there are a good chunk of kids that are more, more into the liberty movement.
Yes,
absolutely. I'm just that's just
you know they're cherry picking all the idiot ones out of there. That one girl sounded like she was totally stoned.
Well, they probably were. They're South Carolina.
Yeah, she was. I mean, she
California.
Sounded like she had cotton mouth. Couldn't even get her words out.
Well, you know,
dead from their asses.
Come on, folks. Let's be nice about all of this.
Yeah, but some of them, I'm going to tell you, some of them are a bunch of little Nazis, too. Because it's like those ones that Adam Kokesh interviewed about them talking about using coercive forces to get what they want and stuff like that. And some of them, I'm sorry, are little Nazis in training.
Well, yeah, that's what they're being taught.
They would have had a nice position in Hitler's youth brigade.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've got a future in Obama's Homeland Security Brigade. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, what is going on with
talking to Mike and I might hear you.
The young people that he was signing up for, like, it's not called Obama's Army.
No, it's, I know what you're talking about. We're going to have to fund them like we do our military. But I think that's Homeland Security. I think they have expanded that to huge degrees. And I think that's what it is. I just don't think they call it what he called it in his campaign speech.
I'm trying to think of what he called it in his campaign speech, but it was a civilian youth military force.
No, he didn't use military, but it was it's pretty much what he was talking about.
Well, it's pretty close. He did say something about civilian youth corps, civilian corps, something like that. He didn't have military in it, but that's close.
It was corps.
And having the same equipment, and as you can see, these police departments now are these.
I remember because who was it that they were considering putting up on that board at the time? It was one of the Kennedy women. I think it was Caroline, or was it what's his face's wife? the governor Nazi. I can't remember. It was one of the Kennedy women, and she had a background with helping out in that. And I remember pointing that out at the time, but they didn't go with her.
Oh, that was Caroline. I know what you're talking. That was Caroline.
Yeah.
You're right.
They had tapped her about trying to head that thing up at one point. Or they were considering her. They didn't go with her ultimately.
And I don't think she was going to do it anyway. Well, gentlemen, if there's nothing else, it's 11:20 Eastern Standard Time. I think we should shut it.
Sounds good to me.
And UAW show tomorrow night at 7. I'd say something else, but I can't wait for that. And you all take it easy. And this Saturday night, I didn't know what to do with myself last night, I'll have to tell you. It was weird.
Well, next Friday, watch Hannity.
Watch Hannity. Yeah.
That's where he does all the surveys with all these people.
Oh, he does surveys. But, oh, well. If he has...
group of people in there and they discuss certain things, and I like to watch the idiots.
Okay. If I can remember to do that, I sure will.
All right. Well, y'all have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to y'all later.
Okay. Critic, take care. Bob, take care, and we'll talk to you next week. And good night, everybody.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.